7, Stan Phillips.
Mansions of glory and suicide machines sprung from cages on highway nine, torn with human ticket and stepping out over the line. Good morning, Met fans. Happy Tuesday to you. Well, it's going to get hot here in the New York area, so stay cool. Stay cool by listening to this podcast and watching the All-Star game tonight. Should be a fun one. I don't know if you guys got a chance to see the Home Run Derby yesterday, but it was quite a show. Pete Alonso didn't get the three-peat, in case you missed it. But he did not do bad. He just got outslugged by the new kid on the block, Julio Rodriguez. The Mariners rookie center fielder was probably something of an unknown to many fans outside of Seattle, but those who have been following prospects know that he is one of the prize prospects in the game today, and he has really gotten off to a great start this year. And he introduced himself to the baseball nation by knocking off Alonso in the semifinals of the Derby Monday night with a show of monstrous power at Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles. In the end, Rodriguez may have worn himself out by hitting 63 home runs over the first two rounds, which was amazing, by far the most of anyone in the eight-man field. And Juan Soto, hasn't that name been popping up in the news lately, out-homered him in the finals to become the 2022 Derby champ. As such, Alonso missed out on becoming the first player to win the Derby 3 years in a row. He'll have to wait until next year to try and tie Ken Griffey Jr. as the only player to win three overall. Now, Alonso had been upfront about how badly he wanted to win it again, and he took it so seriously that he was shown on video doing deadlifts in the Dodger weight room between his rounds in the Derby. Afterward, he was complimentary of Rodriguez's power show. Alonso said, "That was awesome. He put on an awesome display of what a home run derby should be. That was spectacular." In the end, though, it was Soto's night how he out-homered Rodriguez 19-18 in the finals. That in itself was a dramatic story considering all the attention on Soto at the All-Star game after the Nationals let it look like they were willing to trade him, and who knows what's going to become of that. Who really does know? Now, it was Soto's first win in the Derby, and he had to beat sentimental favorite Albert Pujols in the semifinals to get it done. Pujols pulled off the upset in the night of the night, knocking off number one seed Kyle Schwarber in the first round, as the Dodger Stadium crowd roared for the future Hall of Famer. And who wasn't, if you weren't rooting for Pete Alonso, how could you not be rooting for Albert Pujols? Overall, though, nobody was more impressive than Rodriguez, the number six seed who had 16 home runs for the season with the Mariners and looms as the favorite for the AL Rookie of the Year, wowed everybody with his power. He knocked off Corey Seager 33-24 in the first round, then Alonso by a 31-23 count. That was impressive, considering there had only been four previous rounds of 30-plus homers since MLB went to this format 6 years ago, and one of those 30-plus home run binges was by Pete Alonso. In doing so, though, Rodriguez may have worn himself out. In the finals, he was out-homered by Soto. Earlier in the day, Alonso had told reporters he thought stamina was important to winning. "It's an endurance competition," Pete said. "Being able to stay strong physically and mentally is a huge part of it. It's important to conserve as much energy as possible." Now, Alonso defeated Ronald Acuna Jr. Yes, we beat a Brave in the first round fairly comfortably. Hitting after Acuna put up 19, Alonso got to 20, stopping there with about 30 seconds remaining on his time clock. Rodriguez, however, put the pressure on by hitting 31 in the semifinal match with Alonso. The Mets slugger knew he had to have a big round and seemed to be trying to force the issue from the start, hitting only six before calling timeout with a minute 46 left in his three-minute round. He got to 18 after regulation time, then got an extra minute because he had two hit home runs longer than 450 feet in the round, but could only manage five more, and he finished with 23. Alonso had wanted to win, he said, because he was hoping to donate the $1 million prize to the foundation he and his wife had started. Alonso even said, "This year I'm planning for something bigger than myself. If I win, the proceeds will go to the Alonso Foundation. We're going to be focusing on helping our families, kids, and animals in shelters." So while others in the competition stayed on the field between rounds, Alonso was on camera down in the tunnel sitting still with his eyes closed when he wasn't down on doing deadlifts. When asked about the lifting, he smiled and said, if I'm going to compete, I'm going to compete to win. He'll have to wait until next year for another shot. And that might be fun next year, because if he does, and he didn't promise he would, it would be in Seattle where Rodriguez might be the favorite this time, not Alonso. Pete loves the event. He is physically built to do this, but he just ran to a hot man in a hot round. Now, with all this talk about Juan Soto and potential free agents, one of these free agents that's flying under the radar is Edwin Diaz. And he is yet another free agent after the year. And he loves New York. And I think he would love to stay as a New York Met. Now, he turned out to be a great pickup for the Mets and actually outpitched all-star closers Josh Hader and Clay Holmes to this point, who have been getting probably more attention than he has. He's striking out batters at an incredible rate, and his mindset is to pitch to contact. Well, that's what he's doing. He is failing big time. He's been ahead on the count a lot, and he says he's going for contact, but he is striking out almost 18 batters per nine innings, and that is amazing. And who doesn't love him coming into Narco, the trumpet song, every time he pitches? But would it be the same? Would Mr. Met still be happy if he couldn't play that song anymore? So we have to do everything we can to sign Edwin Diaz. And how about Clayton Kershaw getting the start today for the National League? Well deserved. I know Sandy Alcantara has pitched better, but remember Matt Harvey in the All-Star game at Citi Field? He got the start, even though Kershaw probably had a better year. So sometimes you got to give it to the home field guy. It's only the start. It's to be recognized at the beginning of the game. And Alcantara will be getting his innings. But nice tribute to Clayton Kershaw. Now, how about Kyle Schwarber in that home run derby? He got upset by the granddaddy of them all, Albert Pujols, in the first round as Pujols defeated Schwarber 20-19. A lot of people had Schwarber right behind Alonso in the favorite field to win that derby. So way to go, Albert. Way to go out, winning around the home run derby. Now, there's word out there that Michael Conforto has a good chance to sign with somebody to be a hitter, perhaps for September. He could sign without the team losing a draft choice when the MLB draft ends in... he could actually sign with a team and they won't lose a draft choice when the MLB draft ends and begins next year, if that makes sense. I don't even know what I wrote here. But who knows? Maybe Michael Conforto could fit in with the Mets for a month. Who knows? But we just need the guys in there now to do what they're doing. But getting back to the home run derby, Pete Alonso really took this seriously, and I gotta love his work ethic. Fantastic. Fantastic. Now, on a sad note in Metland, Juan Alicia, the longtime Spanish broadcaster for the Mets, was dead at 85. He died in his sleep at home in Florida. He joined the Mets in 69, the season they won their first World Series, and worked in the scouting and community relations department. He started doing Spanish broadcasts for the Mets in 1982 and called more than 4,000 games through 2019. The Mets named the Spanish radio booth at Citi Field in his honor last year. During the 86 postseason, Alicia was the lead voice on the International Spanish Network. He was an innovator and pioneer in Spanish broadcasting, as well as renowned and respected throughout the industry as an extraordinary broadcaster. And he was instrumental in the creation of Hispanic marketing, promotions, and community events for the Mets. His 50 years of service made him a highly regarded member of the Mets family. And we do remember Mr. Alicia, and may he rest in peace. Now, where do you think Juan Soto is going to end up? I personally think no team should trade for him at this point. Wait it out. The Nationals are holding him for ransom. It's only one player, although one of the best players in the game. Well, if you're giving up three quality players, if the hype lives to its expectations with Alvarez, Beatty, and who knows who the other prospect may be, they may add up to being bigger than Soto himself. Sometimes teams need solid players at every position. Just one player isn't going to win the pennant. Because if that were the case, Soto would be winning the pennant in Washington. But it's going to be interesting. It's fool's gold sometimes. It's very, very tempting. But for the right price, I say you can go ahead and get Soto, but you don't want to give up your future. He is a great hitter. Don't get me wrong. He's only 23 years old, and he may be the best hitter of his generation. But do you really want to give up a lot? It's something that I'm glad I don't have to make the decision for. Although Max Scherzer is a big influence on the Mets squad, and if Met Brass wants recommendations on one of Max Scherzer's former superstar teammates from Washington, Max is willing to give it. Max Scherzer said this is the front office's job, but all I can tell you is he is great. He's a great person, a great teammate, and I really enjoy playing with him, and I only could say good things about him. It's hard to believe he rejected the Nationals' contract offer of $440 million over 15 years. But you have to realize the average annual value of that comes to under $30 million a year. And I can't recall, but I heard that almost 20 players are averaging over 20, that average annual value right now. So it's a long-term deal. A lock-in security will probably be guaranteed. But yearly average, Soto can make a lot more money. And who knows, he may end up being a National anyway. Long way to go. He's locked in for two more years after that. You can build the whole team around Juan Soto. So it is going to be crazy, and this is going to be one of those things that people are going to talk about until he actually signs somewhere or is traded somewhere. Sort of like the one year we had Manny Machado and Bryce Harper opting for free agency. It's going to be that crazy. Guarantee it. Now, everyone's talking about who should be the Met MVP for the first half of the year. We hear Alonso, we hear Lindor, we hear Edwin Diaz. How about this? How about Taijuan Walker? He has really flown under the radar. And he will not even be represented at the All-Star game. You could even say maybe Brandon Nimmo is the guy that should have gotten in. He's not going to the All-Star game. And he's leading a first-place team in wins above replacement Nimmo, just ahead of Starling Marte, who was named as an All-Star but was replaced for the game. But I'm looking at the player behind Nimmo and Marte in Mets war, and that is Taijuan Walker. He serves as the front man for what I believe is the MVP for the shiny first half of the Mets season. All the starters, not Jacob deGrom and Max Scherzer, with the mulligan of eliminating Thomas Zabucki's one-star abomination. Once Scherzer was signed to the largest per annum contract in history, the Mets projected as Max and Jake and could carry the others, carrying the weight. But Walker followed a 2021 All-Star first half with a 7.13 ERA in the second half. And that's what we have to watch out for here. Now, Carlos Carrasco last year couldn't stay healthy last year. And when he did pitch, had a 6.04 ERA. And David Peterson followed his encouraging 2020 debut with a scourging sophomore effort. Tyler McGill had little track record, and Trevor Williams didn't even have a no-doubt clear path to a roster spot. So you can see a lot can happen in one year. The post-lockout trade for Chris Bassett was acknowledged that the team had real concerns about covering innings and rotation depth, but then DeGrom went down with a scapula issue. Then after pitching like DeGrom for a month, McGill was lost first with a biceps injury, then a shoulder problem. Then Scherzer was lost for 6+ weeks with an oblique strain. Suddenly there was no Max and Jake. Just what was in their wake? So that Bassett, Carrasco, Peterson, Walker, and Williams have remained sturdy, have been vital and valuable. The Mets are tied with the Yankees, and three other teams are having used 8 starters this year, second fewest in the majors. The 1/8 was Zabucki, 9 runs, 1 1/3 inning. Remember that horror show against the Giants? So they would not have wanted to figure out who the 9th starter was. Now on Sunday, to close out the first half, Peterson started the 81st game, exactly half a season by a Met not named DeGrom, who has 0 starts, or Scherzer, who has 11, or Zabucki, 1 start. His one run allowed over 5 innings gave those other Mets starters a 3.77 ERA. That is so much better than the Mets could have imagined for health and results. It is made all the more important because the depth quality of Mets' bullpen is an issue. Subpar pitching would have exposed the relievers even more. And that brings a lot of value if we can do that. Basically, bring in a guy like Walker and all the other people unexpectedly and let them pitch to their capabilities, and they have certainly done that. Now, Walker is particularly integral because part of the value has to be when you produce your value, and he does it. For example, he helps up one crisis for your team by, say, excelling in that quarter of a season alley in which neither DeGrom nor Scherzer started. He really picked up the weight and he ran with it with no problem. McGill made two starts, 8.10 ERA. Zabuki one, and get this, ERA 6.75. It goes even further. Peterson had a 3.93 ERA in that 41-game span. Carrasco, 5.44. Bassett, 5.51. And Williams, 5.82. So almost everyone not named Taijuan Walker struggled a bit. Now, there were 14 in all fewer starts than five innings by that staff, and none by Walker. He pitched like an ace when the co-aces were both out. Walker never played fewer than five innings, went six or more, seven times in nine starts. Never gave up more than four runs, gave up three or fewer in eight starts, and two or fewer in six. His ERA in that period was 2.59. Now, Walker said you can't try to emulate them because they're two of the finest pitchers, so he just tries to go deeper while staying within himself. Off a 7-3, 2.66 ERA, 5.73 OPS against in 94 and two-thirds innings last year, Walker went to the first All-Star game of his career. He is 7-2 with a 2.55 ERA in 91 and two-thirds innings this season. Now, can he avoid the second-half swoon of last year to set himself up within the Mets well in the second half? If Walker gets 175 innings, his 2023 player option becomes $8.5 million. But short of devastating injury, Girardi will take a $3 million buyout into free agent. He only turns 30 next year. The Mets will naturally hope he maximizes the second half because with DeGrom seemingly on the precipice of returning and Scherzer pitching so well since he came off the IL, the Mets could finally be approaching the rotation dream for the stretch run in playoffs. Made all the better of this version of Walker plays a worthy number three behind DeGrom Scherzer. For much of the first half, the Yankees had a healthy, flourishing rotation. But with Severino out and some wobble all around among the starters, they're currently the New York team most in need of upgrading before the August 2nd deadline. The Mets will not exactly be ignoring Cincinnati's Luis Castillo and others. After all, no team truly ever has enough pitching, especially when it comes to starting pitching. But because of their first-half MVP, the surprising rotation depth led by Walker, the Mets will open the second half with few far rotations concerns than they did last season. So, yes, we can be very, very thankful for Taijuan Walker this year. Okay, now it's time for our shameless plugs. Yes, this podcast can be heard almost daily. We try to put one up as often as possible. So if you'd like to subscribe and know when the next one is coming up, please do subscribe. You'll be alerted, and you can listen along with all the other great Met fans. And a lot of those great Met fans are members of the group in Facebook, New York Mets Baseball Way of Life. You got to check it out. It's our Facebook companion to this podcast. So please do check that out. It's a fun place to be. All great information, great contributors, and a great way to follow the Mets on a daily basis. Now it's time for a daily Met trivia and Jeopardy of the day. Here's the trivia question. Who was the last Met hitter to hit a pinch hit home run? And now our Jeopardy, two clues as always. Selected by the New York Mets organization in the first round, which was the 23rd pick overall of the free agent draft of June 3rd, 1980. Traded by the Mets to the Minnesota Twins with Bill Latham and Joe Klink in exchange for Tim Tuffle and Pat Crosby on January 16th, 1986. Lock in your answers, and we'll be back at the end of the podcast to tell you how you did. And now let's go to this date in Met history and commemorate all the birth dates on this date. Born on this date in 1916, former Met coach Phil Cavaretta. Born this date in 1938, Gordy Richardson. Born this date in 1962, Dick Scott. Born this date in 1963, Mark Carrion. By the way, Dick Scott was a coach, if you don't remember him as a player. Born this date in 1974, Mookie Wilson's son, Preston Wilson, who played for the Mets for a brief spell. Born this date, David Segui in 1966. Born on this date in 1979, what an enigma. Could hit like the devil and throw like anything, but lost his control one day as a pitcher. Rick Ankiel. Born this date in 1989, Louis Avalon, and born this date in 1992, Jack Reinheimer. Now on this date in transaction history, the Mets purchased Bobby Clouse from the Cincinnati Reds on July 19, 1964. They traded Kareem Garcia to the Baltimore Orioles for Mike DeJean, or DeJean, I should say, on July 19, 2004. And the Mets traded Jeff Kepinger to the Kansas City Royals for Ruben Goté on this date in 2006. And the Mets sold Wilmer Font to the Toronto Blue Jays on this date on 2019. So those are your Mets transactions. A lot of birthdays to celebrate today. So hopefully you guys have enough candles there. Always good to see a lot of Mets alive and kicking and celebrating birthdays. Now in the group itself, we posted these fantastic numbers that if Francisco Lindor keeps up this pace, he will have at the end of the season 29 homers, 117 RBIs, 94 runs, and a 5.9 Fangraphs WAR. That is amazing. What a year Francisco Lindor is having. Batting average may not be what you want it to be, but he has been fantastic. And Tiffany Flores noted that this Friday at Citi Field, it's WWE night. So Bianca Belair will be at Citi Field. And there's special tickets for a package. She gives you all the information on the site. So you might want to check that out if you're a big wrestling fan. And Saturday is David Wright Funko Day. Funko Pop, I think they call it. I'm not a hip with these toys. And Sunday is Gil Hodges Bobblehead Night. It's going to be warm and hot, but what a way to cool off, be out in the outdoors at Citi Field for a night game. So you might want to check that out. There is no Met game today. There is the All-Star game today, and Clayton Kershaw goes. Hopefully we'll see some Mets in there. I'm sure we will, and that'll be fun. We'll be talking all about it on the next podcast. But before we go and wish you adieu for today, let us give you the answers to the trivia and question and Jeopardy for today. Once again, the Met trivia question was, who was the last Met hitter to hit a pinch hit home run? And the correct answer is Michael Conforto, who did it August 28, 2021 against the Nationals. Congrats to John Tierney on being the first to submit the correct answer. And the two clues for Mets final Jeopardy is selected by the Mets organization in the first round, 23rd pick overall, the free agent draft on June 3rd, 1980, and traded to the New York Mets by the Mets to the Twins, I should say, with Bill Latham and Joe Klink in exchange for Tim Tuffle and Pat Crosby on January 16, 1986. And the correct response to that final Jeopardy is, who is Billy Bean? And guess who got it right? Yes, John Tierney. He swept the board again today. He's been on a roll and he's been on a mission. Come on, guys. I know someone can answer besides John Tierney. Go for it. Anyway, just kidding. Best to everyone on answering these questions. Well, that's going to wrap it up for today. Another great podcast as always. Thank you so much for listening. It means the world to me. Enjoy the All-Star game. We'll be back to talk about everything soon. Subscribe and you'll know when our next podcast is up. So enjoy the day. Stay cool in this hot week in New York. And we'll talk soon. Let's go, Mets.
With Rod, Keneal, and Casey, the Amazons were the brand new kids in town. From the Polo Grounds to Shea, they played the game their way. By hook and by crook, they wrote a new book. They were around, I'm talking baseball. Roger, Craig, and Jerry, Amazing baseball. Elio, Throneberry, Choo-Choo, Thomas, Charlie, Neal, and West. Al Jackson, he always did his best. Talking baseball, baseball and the Mets. As they got a little older, they played a little bolder, and Hodges took the reins in 68. A miracle was due. Leon and Cruz came through. They made a believer of Mr. O. Weaver in four games straight. I'm talking baseball. Now Tommy was terrific, amazing baseball. Glenn Lennon was prolific, Bud and Champ and Heege stood the test. And the glider and the crane, they were the vets. I'm talking baseball, baseball and the Mets. So long. But
but Rusty kept them more than even. McGraw, he never stopped believing. Carter and Hernandez in the mix. They won 86.
Little roller up along first. Behind the back.
Rushing to the stadium in Flushing. They play amazing baseball in the fall. Jay and Benny are the rage, and the monster's out of the cage. The crowd is berserk for Johnny and Turk, so let's play ball. We're talking baseball.
Mike Hampton, Reed, and Leiter. Amazing baseball.
Timo's the exciter, with Armando, Zeal, and Robin. They're all set. And Fonzie's just about as good as it gets. We're talking baseball, baseball and the Mets. Amazing baseball.